Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of A Place in the Conversation. My name is Dan Neiswanger. I'm here with my good friend, Nick Everhart. Nick, why don't you say hello?
Well, Dan, it's nice to be here with you again and with Gustavo. It is a beautiful day here today, and I spent the morning working at my volunteer job in Winterthur in the gardens, doing a lot of deadwooding. And it's a place where I find a lot of peace and joy.
So Nick, how long have you been doing that? How long have you been volunteering
there? I've been there for 8 or 9 years.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I go once a week.
All right. And for those who don't know, what is deadwooding?
Well, it's cutting dead wood out of mostly azaleas today.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Cool. All right. Well, and for those of you who, well, I guess, you know, if you don't know, Nick is a master gardener. He took a class and became a master gardener. And we're going to do a future podcast about what it means to be a master gardener and all that. So you can look forward to that in some of the coming episodes. Today, we're going to make a place in the conversation for a great friend of mine, a good ministry partner, Gustavo Castaneda. And Gustavo is the outreach pastor at Willowdale Chapel here in Kennett Square. He's also the pastor of the Spanish ministry that takes place at Willowdale Chapel. And over the past few years, we've had a great opportunity to get to know each other, to work together on some things in the community. And I thought it would be great to sit down and to just provide him an opportunity to share a little bit of his story. So Gustavo, would you just introduce yourself a little bit and just share a little bit about the ministry of Willowdale Chapel?
Sure. Thank you for the invitation. And it's good to know that you are an expert on the garden.
Yeah, well.
I need some help at home, some ideas.
Okay. Yeah. Give you some tips.
Yes. Happy to be here. And thank you for the invitation. We love Kennett Square. We came to Kennett Square like 8 years ago. We came from Colombia with my wife and kids. We have two kids. Our son is 20 years old. He's going to be 20 years in August. And my daughter, our daughter is going to be 17. Both have their birthdays in August. Also my wife. I am the only one that born in November.
In November.
But we have a big party in August. And we came to Kennett Square because of Willowdale Chapel. We are from Colombia. We arrived to the United States like 9 years ago. We have been in ministry like 26 years ago. We started working full-time as a youth pastor in Colombia. And my wife having always been with me working together on ministry. When the kids arrive, we start getting them involved, serving in several ministries. And until today, they love the Lord and love to serve the community. Also, my son is actually working in our church full-time as well as a high school pastor in our Kennett campus. We have, at Willowdale Chapel, we have two campuses, one in Kennett Square and the second one is in Jennersville, in the West Grove area. Then it's great. It's great to be part of this community, I think. And as you say, to develop this friendship with other ministers like you and knowing what is the Lord doing in several congregations. And we love this community. If that was a good answer or...
Yeah, your answer is a perfect answer, right? Whenever we get together at a place in the conversation, like, you know, everybody's answer, look, it's their answer and it's a perfect answer, right? We're here to learn from each other. So talk for a few minutes about your journey, you know, from Colombia to here. Mm-hmm. And how did you make the decision to end up, you know, doing ministry here instead of back in Colombia, you know, where you started doing ministry? And because I have to imagine that is a huge transition that brings with it, you know, all kinds of challenges, all kinds of joys and everything. So what was that like for you and for your family?
That was interesting because it wasn't part of our plan. Like, we are from Colombia for a city that is called Cali, Colombia. And we love that city. But before to come to the United States, we were living in Medellin, that's another well-known city in Colombia, for 5 years. During that time, we were doing like dual career ministry and working as consultant for IT companies in Colombia. Then it wasn't part of our plan to come to the United States. Actually, when we were doing ministry on a couple of occasions, I have an invitation to come to work in the United States with a couple of churches. But we didn't feel that that was the time. And we felt that the Lord needed us working there at that point. Then we weren't pursuing to come to live to the United States. That wasn't part of the plan then. But I came for business purposes to help like some family that they need help with their business. And we came for a couple of weeks just to be with them. And during that time, we felt something different. Yeah, we came before to the United States for vacation and we love it, but it wasn't part like, oh, we want to come to believe in the United States. Yeah. We were so comfortable and happy in Medellin that this wasn't part of the big picture.
Yeah.
Then, but when we came and stayed with our family, we started feeling something different. And it was like kind of a need that we saw even in our in the church in the United States. Like, we found that an opportunity to serve among the church here. And that's when we decide, okay, we need to come to the United States and do ministry here. What was the thing that we saw? Like, we saw like something that for us was different. Like, we found churches worshiping together, but they were like kind of homogeneous memberships.
Yeah.
You know, white churches, African-American churches, Hispanic churches, and there was like, I don't know, if it's, it, we didn't find a lot of diversity.
Yeah.
In my opinion, that's an opportunity to grow as a church.
Yeah.
Then that's why we ended here. Like that was actually our bid call to come and trying to do some integration with churches and that's why we took that big decision. It was a big change for us.
Did you have children whenever you made the decision to come?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so how old were they?
They were like 11 and 8.
Ooh, wow. So that is a big thing. Yeah, that's okay. How did they handle that?
They didn't know that they were coming to stay.
Okay.
They felt that it was another vacation.
Okay. Yeah.
But when we stay here, like you say, okay, you know, this is going to be different now. We're going to stay and we're going to pursue ministry. We didn't have an invitation this time for a church. You know, and the other two opportunities that I was mentioned before, we have a church that was our sponsor to say, we want you to come. And that's a different thing. When we came, we didn't have that.
Wow.
Then we started praying and we were in with our tourist visa. Then we have some time to stay in the United States before we need to come back to Colombia. But during that time, the Lord aligned everything in order that we will be able to stay with our religious visa and start doing ministry here.
Yeah. You know, Gustavo, there's something special about being in that place where you step out in faith and you don't have all the answers. Like you sense that the Spirit is inviting you into something. And like, if you would put it all in an Excel sheet and look at it, you would say, yeah, this really doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And maybe I ought to stay where I am. But no, the Spirit is inviting me into this new thing. And even though I don't have all the answers, even though it's not all worked out, I'm willing to step out into it. There was a season in my own life where, you know, everybody around me was looking at me and saying, Dan, what are you doing? Like, you know, you're moving somewhere. You don't have a job. You don't have a house. You don't have... You know, they went through this whole list of things that I didn't have, But what I could, what I, the only thing I could say back was, yes, I understand that. But what I do have is this sense that this is where the Spirit of God would have me be for this next season of my life. And so I have got to be there.
Yes.
And then what happened was when I was there, God just started to provide all these things one right after another. And it was amazing. And I learned about faith in a way that I had never learned about before. Like, I thought I understood faith and I thought I understood trust. And what I realized, you know, looking back on it after a few years was, no, that's where I learned. That's where the Spirit said, look, let me show you what faith is. Let me show you how you can trust me. What are some of the biggest lessons that you learned, that your family learned, when you discerned the Spirit's invitation for you to come here mm-hmm. without all the answers, without everything all worked out ahead of time?
Oh, they were a lot. When we're talking about the Excel file, we have empty cells all over. And we didn't have the answers. Starting with the opportunity to work, we weren't allowed to work under a religious visa. We were, I wasn't able to apply for a different job. Then we were depending on the Lord provision. One of the things that a challenge that we learned, especially when we were talking about kids, is that we left everything behind, and friends and the connections that we have. And we found that we have a family here, like a spiritual family. This is a big church, like the church is universal. Then we start coming to a Chinese church in this area. That was the first church that we saw, and we knew that, oh, we need to come to church on Sunday. Then we went to that church, to the English service, even though we didn't speak the language as well. They have two services, a Mandarin and English, and either one was hard for us. But we chose English because at least we knew to say something, right? And they welcome us. We were the only Latin American family in that congregation. And we found that the challenge that we had, that we were here without friends, the Lord provide a group of friends that welcome us and help us. And we found that, oh, Colombians are not too much different than Chinese. Like there is a few things in our culture that we can say, oh, we're part of the God's design. And we found similarities, and we stayed there almost for a year before to come to Willowdale. But that's one of the challenges. Obviously, language is a huge one when you have to be involved in a community that you have to talk.
Yeah.
But we like to learn. We're still in that process. Our kids are fully bilingual at this mm-hmm. point, but for my wife and I, we're still learning. But we learned that we don't have to be afraid to try to communicate. I think people figure out if we are making a sentence with a different order, people can put together what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Then we found people friendly that now they're part of our family, they're part of our group of friends, and we love this community because of that.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So. Gustavo, what does an outreach pastor do? It's like, you know, my title here at First Baptist, I retired as pastor and I've taken on the lay position of elder of outreach, mm-hmm. right? And so I kind of know what that means for me, and it's an interesting title. But the minister of outreach, what does that mean? What do you do? Uh-huh. What do you spend your time doing as the minister of outreach?
I'm doing podcasts on my free time.
Oh, you're doing a podcast on your free time? There you go. That's pretty good.
But the other time, some churches call this my role as the missions pastor. Mm. Like I am helping, or not helping, I'm working with our global partners and our local partners as well, organizations, nonprofit, and missionaries that we develop a partnership and a friendship, and we support them in many ways, not just financially, but praying for them, learning about their mission, trying to be with them. Then my role is to motivate the church to be engaged with these partners, doing some labor. Like last week, I was paddling for Promise with one of Urban Promise in Wilmington that we support them. Then I like to be present on the events that our partners are doing, because we wanted to see that we really are engaged with their mission and vision. Then I will say I am kind of a promoter, with the church. You know, every single member of the church have a responsibility to serve, and that's what we believe, and that's what the Bible say, that we need to serve and use our gifts. Then for me, I'm trying to provide opportunities for our congregation to serve. And our partners allow us to touch pieces of the community that we don't have probably that relationship. But through them, we can get together and serve those areas in our community. Then I would say I am kind of a promoter, recruiter, in our church.
Yeah. Cheerleader, right? I mean, that's kind of how I see, you know, feel too. It's just, promoter, cheerleader, just, you know, constantly talking about, look, this is an opportunity for us to work for the common good in the community, and we need to step into it. And man, what would it look like if we would do that? And what would it look like if our churches did that together? You know, that would be, that's just huge. So
I think it's great to find that when we talk with other pastors in the area, like we have, well, some of the partners are the same. Like we are serving the garage, or young moms, or good neighbors.
Yeah.
It's great to find, like, sometimes we are working in a roof, fixing a roof in a low-income house. We found people from other communities, talking to other churches. And it's great that the Lord has put this fire in our heart to serve. Then I like that this ministry, because it makes me connect with people with that eagerness to serve, but also people in need.
That we can
know and serve them well.
Well, you're very good at it. You're a great connector with people. Nick, you had something you wanted to
add? I was just thinking that what you're describing sounds very biblical to me. I mean, it sounds like what Jesus would have taught.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about how your church provides opportunities for the members to serve in the community, and bringing the church more in touch with the community. And I hear you talk about those things, and I know that your church is a huge church, and it's growing. And so obviously you're providing something there that people are looking for. Mm-hmm. And I have to say that I was a member of this church for probably 35 years, and I always thought that was missing. And during that time, this church did not grow. And I think that's a big piece that was missing.
Mm-hmm. Well, Nick, you did a great job working with Good Neighbors for a while.
That was a big part of
what your push was. Right. So,
and also with the Joan Holliday's organization. Yeah. And I always tried to promote that. But once you came here, it started really happening.
Yeah. Well, thank you. But
talking about good connectors, I think that's easy with you, that you have put, especially with the work with the other pastors, you have putting us together to talk, to be in the same table. And that's not an easy task. And I thank you for doing that.
Oh, you're welcome.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Something that is nice in this community is that there are several organizations and nonprofits in our area that we can connect with them.
Yeah.
And they're doing a great job on finding, some of them call their customers or their clients. And they make us our job easier, because we can connect through them with those communities.
Yeah, that's right.
And we've talked to a number of those organizations here on these podcasts, because it's very interesting.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and so that's just one piece of what you do.
Yeah.
A few weeks, I guess probably that's not weeks, it's probably months ago now, I had the privilege of being able to be at a worship service at Willowdale, where you guys were celebrating the 5th anniversary of your Spanish ministry.
Yeah, Willow del Español.
Willow del Español, yeah. And it was just a, it was a great service, fantastic service. And just celebrating the ministry there. Talk a little bit about that and what that is. Where did that come from? How was that born? And yeah, what are you guys looking to do there?
Yeah, I think we started doing a work in our church called Spanglish. And we arrived here like eight years ago. We started making a group of people coming to speak, the people who speak Spanish and people who speak English, just to be together. And we were having dinner, like a potluck. We have music. We have and a small group of teaching. But we were doing like live together, like every week. And we call that Spanglish because people who were interested to learn Espanol or people who were interested to learn English, we came together and it was nice. Even we started having like a worship band for our events. Then, but we didn't have the idea to have a church. Like our idea is to bring Latino families to the church and be part of the church. Like we didn't want to have like a separated congregation. Then that wasn't part of our plan and still being part of our goal. Like we didn't have that goal, and but the Lord started putting us opportunities to develop a service in Spanish. We didn't call it Spanish ministry. We didn't call like a church, because this is like another service from Willowdale, but it happened to be in Spanish, and it's like a third service in our church, but allow us to bring people who are coming to the United States that don't speak the language, don't speak English, that probably the English service is not like a friendly service for them to listen the gospel. Then we found with a few families, we had a few families in the church. We have a few families that came to us and say, we want to worship with you guys. Then we told them, we don't want to let you use the facility for your service. We want you to be part of our community. Then if you want to stay here, you will be Guilodel. Yeah. Is that what you're looking for? Because that's something interesting for us. Not just having a connection. We want you to be us.
Yeah.
Then we started with 17 people. 5 years ago, was our first meeting. We said, let's start a Sunday service. During our second service, we have a simultaneous service. And one of the wings of the church, we have the English service, and the other one is the Spanish. However, even that we are in a separate location, we are teaching the same.
Yeah.
We are having the same ministry. We don't have a different outreach ministry for Anglos and Latinos. We are going to fix the roof together. Even if some people don't understand what you're saying, like we can make signs. And then that's how it started. We started with 17 people coming to the church. Now we are having around 120 every Sunday worshiping in Spanish. But we decided to keep with the Spanish service because it's like an entry point to the church for people that really want to worship the Lord in Spanish. Probably for you, if you are bilingual, if you speak other language than English, probably in your heart you want to pray in your native language, right? You feel more comfortable God or worshiping with God and in your native language. That happened with the Spanish, especially in this area where you have a lot of Latinos. Then it has been a blessing, and we are learning in the process. But the beauty of this experience is that we can have people serving in all our ministries together. Yeah. We didn't have that. Now we have that opportunity. People from the English service and the Spanish service doing service, especially through outreach. Yeah. Then it's great to be part of that.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's fascinating to watch that come together. And you know, Monte Horeb is a Guatemalan church that, mm-hmm. that meets at First Baptist. And, you know, they have a very similar story. When they started, they had seven people. They started with seven. Now they have 150 people who are coming to worship, you know. And it's amazing. And it's primarily, you know, a Guatemalan community. And slowly, we've been working to kind of to build those connections. And it's hard. Language is hard to overcome. But we've done, we're trying to be very intentional about it. And one of the things that everybody knows how to work, right? And so you have the church work day. And people come from Monte Horeb and First Baptist come and they work together. And you can figure out the hand signals. Everybody understands a smile, right? You know, like everybody understands a smile. Everybody understands the, you know, the hand movements for a shovel, right? Or, you know, the hand movements for a rake. Like, and so by the end of the day, you've got this, there's a connection.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of stuff that just, it's hard work. Mm-hmm. It's long work. And it's not, you have to have the long view picture of what you're looking to accomplish, because you don't build it. You don't build it in a day. You don't build it in a year. You've got to be able to see long-term and say, I'm willing to do the work and invest the time and invest in people. Mm-hmm. But man, it's fun to watch it come together.
It is. But you're right. You need to be patient.
Yeah.
You need to be patient and you need to do this with love.
Yeah.
I always say, when some people mention, it's hard to do this because the language barrier, I told them that I think the bigger barrier is the attitude.
Yeah.
How you approach this. And I like that you say, we need to be intentional on this.
Yeah.
Because it's not easy to come to a meeting where everybody else is speaking a different language.
Yeah.
Then how we can pass that barrier with love and patience. And I always tell the people from the Spanish-speaking community and the English-speaking community the same. Like it's like when you are having a baby. When you have your baby, they don't speak your language. They didn't come speaking English or speaking Spanish. How do you communicate with them? Or with your grandchildren, with your eyes.
Yeah.
You can see their smile through their eyes.
Yeah.
You can see their happiness. You can see their pain. And they can receive your love, even though we don't speak the same language.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You need to wait. You need to grow that relationship, that the relationship between the mother and the baby. It's because you are spending time with somebody, and a stranger, that you didn't know, that you don't know how to communicate, but through love, you develop this relationship.
Yeah.
Then does happen the same with somebody from a different nationality or with a different language. If you show the smile and you show that you care, that you're interested in their pain, they will come and they will offer the same.
Yeah.
Then you need patience and love.
Yeah. That's just it. Yeah, that's just it. Yeah.
I was just thinking, you know, maybe somebody said this earlier, but even though we all may speak different languages,
mm-hmm.
we're all basically the same,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
We all have the same needs. We have the same concerns. We have the same feelings. Yeah. And you just get past the language and be open, and it'll happen, I think.
Yeah.
If you bring people together with that intention.
That's key, putting people together to do something that develop empathy.
Yeah.
If you want to develop empathy between two groups or two people, just give them a task, like that they can achieve something together.
Yeah.
When you put two people or two groups with a goal, now we're team.
Yeah.
Now we have to do this together and.
Yeah.
That's when you start developing empathy on that community. then that's why I love to be the outreach pastor.
Yeah, that's it. Because, yeah, that's it.
Because
that's
we have plenty of opportunities to do things together. That you say shoveling. Last week we were building like a contention wall for a family in Coatesville. Then we have people who speak Spanish and they speak English. Then doing work together, at the end of the day, we are friends.
That's it.
At the end of the day, you say we're the same. Yeah. You have grandchildren, me too. You have kids, me too. I struggle with my wife to understand sometimes. Yeah. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better wife. Then when you build these communities together, you understand that, wow, we have the same challenges.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where we need God.
Yeah.
And God loves us the same. He loves the world. He don't love a particular nation.
Yeah.
He loves all of us.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. When we're talking about language,
yeah.
we when we follow Jesus, he never spoke English and he never spoke Spanish. He was here doing his ministry.
Yeah.
I believe in heaven the language is going to be Spanish. That's for true.
There you go. That's it. There you go.
But it's interesting that someone from Middle East loves us so much,
yeah,
that he gave his life for us,
yeah,
and is a challenge, but the beauty that say, oh, we can be together even if we came from different nationalities.
Yeah.
You know, even though we are worship a Jew. Every Sunday, we're worshiping Jesus, that he didn't born in United States or he didn't born in Colombia, but he put us together as part of his body, and now we are his children.
Yeah.
And that's something that motivated me to be open to different cultures.
Yeah.
And even though we have a small group of like 120 people, we have people from Venezuela, Colombia, Guatemala, Mexico, Puerto Rico, Honduras, Salvador, Panama, Argentina. We have people from the United States coming to the service, and Peru, Ecuador, that they're part of the church. And it is great not just to hear different accents, but it's great to hear like aspects of the different countries, especially when we are eating food and make a potluck. That's great. But it's great to see God's love for the entire world.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's it. Gustavo, thank you, man. That's just really good. I like it. And it's just the key is patience, isn't it? It's just patience and love and just being able to have that empathy and being willing to do a little extra work. To build the relationship, and because building those relationships cross cultures and cross language barriers, it takes more time, and it's so much easier for us to stay in the groups that we're familiar with the people that we're comfortable with, and that is just, it's so much easier and it's so much more comfortable. But yet we miss out on the fullness of the human experience. We miss out on the fullness of what we can learn from other people, and it's a sad thing, you know, when you miss out on that. Yeah. Sometimes you don't even know it. Like people go through their whole life and you don't realize what you're missing out on. It can be the kind of thing that can set you free, open your eyes and set you free,
mm-hmm,
to experience life on a whole nother level. That is just, it's a beautiful thing. So
it is. And I think we can start doing little steps, you know, little by little, like just the thing that you are doing here, that we're doing here, just having a conversation.
Yeah.
You just start with that. Sometimes we point our differences or like the barriers, but let's start talking about something that all we have in common.
Yeah.
You know, like where we live in, our dreams, what are the desires. We love this country If we are living here, we want this country to be successful, you know. We want our community flourishing. Then let's start talking about those kind of things.
That's
rather
right.
To trying to find, oh, how different are you from me?
That's right.
When we start just having conversations, we end in they say, oh, I like gardening.
Yeah,
you know, I like to do that.
Yeah.
Or I like outreach.
Yeah.
And I like to be a connector and say, oh, there is something that I didn't know that you have that.
Yeah.
Then probably I could learn from you things that I am missing, as you say, because we are not talking.
Because we're not talking. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Thank you. I mean, you've really, like, you've encapsulated very nicely what we kind of hope that this podcast and A Place in the Conversation is all about, is just the opportunity to sit and have conversations with people who have very diverse opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Every thought is welcome at the table. Let's just hear what each other's got to say, and we can learn and grow from each other. And that's really it. So, you know, Gustavo, thank you. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for sharing, about your life experience. And thank you for just helping us understand a little bit deeper what it means to do life with people from different cultures, and how to begin having that journey. If you're listening right now, let me just challenge you to take a look at the world around you and to find those people or find those places in your world where somebody might be different than you. They might speak a different language than you. They might come from a different culture, a culture than you. It might be a place where when you look at it, you feel a little awkward. And let me challenge you to take the step to begin to build a relationship there. That instead of retreating to the places where you're comfortable, where life is easy, look at those places where, you know, the butterflies start to build up in your stomach a little bit. And then take that bold step, you know, like Gustavo and his family moving from Colombia to here. Take the bold step and say, no, I'm going to step into this. And I'm going to do a little bit of the hard work to build the relationship, to step into an opportunity of service, even though I feel a little bit uncomfortable. And as you step into it, look for those places of connection, whether it be family, whether it be things that you share in common, whether the connection may be that there's just things that you can learn from each other, and things that maybe you can teach, and then things that you can take away from a conversation. But step into those places. And as you do that, just be open to see how the world is just so different, and how you can grow, and how you can learn, and how you can share some of the wisdom that you've picked up over the years. So Gustavo, again, thank you. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for sharing. And to everybody out there, until we get together again, may you just be abundantly aware of the Spirit of God alive and well and at work in your world.